You have your Bibles, I want you to go to Deuteronomy, and we'll go to chapter 11. And I want to tell you that I really have grabbed a hold of a word that I heard. We were doing a TV taping a few weeks ago for Faith Television in South Africa, and it was a live broadcast going to Europe and UK and just all over. And so we were doing this feed, and we were talking about the year of change and manifest power. And I just grabbed that in my spirit, and I said, I'm really believing God for positive change for everybody in this room, that there's a real change in the way you worship, a real change in the way that you live this Christian life. And I pray that the manifest power of God would be released through you. You know, I really believe we're going to see the early rain and the latter rain poured out, that we're in the last days, and we're in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never experienced before. And I believe 2020 is going to be this outpouring of the presence of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, it shall be. And I just grabbed that for me this week. I said, God, it shall be. It shall be. It shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to love God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And this word, man, I was grabbing onto that this week. And listen, this is not a time for casual Christianity. These are trying times. These are strategic times that we're living in. I believe the last days started when Jesus came out of that tomb. And I believe we're living in the last days. I believe that these are strategic times that we're living in. And there's an outpouring that wants to happen, that is going to happen on the earth. An outpouring of God's presence. And that outpouring is not for the casual Christian. I said last week, there's a difference between a sinner and a forgiven sinner. There's a difference, right? There's a difference between a Christian and a committed Christian. And I'm just telling you, God's calling us to a committed lifestyle, a consecrated life. A consecrated life before the Lord. Romans chapter 12. Most of you know this text, and when I start reading it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that. He says, Paul's writing, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I'm begging you, brethren, he's talking to the church. He said, I'm begging you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The next movement of God is for the consecrated Christian who are willing to be the carriers of the glory. You have to make up your mind and make a determination in your heart. I will be a carrier of the glory of God. That's why I'm telling everybody, smile a little more. To put a smile on your face and be welcoming to who God is sending into your life. Because we are carriers of the glory. We're carrying the manifest presence of God everywhere that we go. The next outpouring is for the consecrated Christian. It is not for the Christian that has conformed to the world's lifestyle. It's not for conformity. Conformity means this, similar in form, character, and agreement. That's what it means to conform to the world. Similar in character, similar in agreement, in form. Looking like, acting like, talking like, responding like the world. And if you want to experience the outpouring of the glory of God, you cannot live that way. You've got to come into a place of total surrender to God. Christianity has got so messed up in so many people's heads because they think that they got saved to get a better life. If I get saved, God's going to give me a better life. God didn't come to the earth, send his son Jesus to die on a cross so that you could have a better life. I'm telling you, he came so that you could have a new life. It's not a better life. It's a brand new life. I don't think the same way. I don't act the same way. I don't talk the same way. I don't live the same way. It is a new life. I have been born again. You have been called into a born again relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not trying to fit God into your life. Oh, I got to make a little more time for God. That's the thinking. That's the way the world wants us to think. And God says, no, no, I'm not calling you into this thing so I can give you a better life. I want to give you a brand new life. I want you to be Jesus with skin on. Everywhere you go, I want you to represent him, look like him, act like him, talk like him. You can't offend me. Last week when I was preaching, I had people get up and walk out in the middle of service. I wasn't offended. I prayed for them. As soon as I started speaking in tongues, they got up and walked out. I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm not here to win the approval of man. I used to conform. I used to conform to that. I had this image in my heart. I wanted everybody to like me. I wanted you to like our church. I was hoping you'd come and like the church, that you'd like me. And so I'd find myself trying to be careful what I say. You live that way too. It's not just me. I don't want to offend anybody, and if I'm too bold in my face, someone's going to get offended and call me a holy roller or a preacher. Are you better than me? So I don't want to say anything to anybody. I'm like secret agent Christian. I just pray in private. I'm like over here in the corner praying, and they don't even know I'm here, Pastor. It's like, are you kidding me? God doesn't have secret agents. Huh? He doesn't call you privately. You know, we always, I do it a lot, bow your heads, close your eyes, and I do that just so that everyone will begin praying. It's not because I don't want them to see you making a decision. Huh? I say, bow your hearts, close your eyes, and if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, lift your hand. But I don't want to just have you lift your hand secretly. You're not a secret agent. You've been called to die to your flesh, die to your old nature, and come alive in Christ. You now have a life of hope and future. The word consecrate means to make holy. It is totally opposite from conformity. It's total opposite. A consecrated life is one who seeks to bring honor to the name of Christ. Everything that I do, I want to bring honor to his name, bring glory to his name. Listen, this new move, this wave of the Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the glory is not for the self-centered Christian. The bless me club. Oh, I just want to get blessed. If I could just get blessed. Oh, God, you said you'd bless me coming in, bless me going out. I just want blessing. Listen to me. I got to move you beyond that. It is God's will to bless and prosper your life. He will bless and prosper your life, but it's not so you can feel good and have more stuff. It's so that you can be a blessing, so that you can live knowing I have purpose on the earth, and my purpose is to die to my flesh, come alive in Jesus, and get you into a place of receiving the glory. Consecration is being set apart for the service of God. Consecration means sanctified thinking. It's a sanctified transformation. He said, be transformed. Listen, consecration doesn't come from our own efforts. It comes from the Holy Spirit. There's nothing good in you. Until you surrender everything to Jesus, then everything in you is supposed to be coming just like him. It's a transformation. The Greek word here is metamorphao. It's the Greek word for transformation. It's where we get the English word metamorphosis. It means a complete change of character and appearance. A complete change of character. It's dying to your old man and coming alive in Jesus. The transformation that Paul is talking about comes from the inside out, not the outside in. I grew up legalist. I grew up holiness. I grew up in this Pentecostal holiness movement where you weren't allowed to have long hair if you were a guy, and you weren't allowed to have short hair if you were a girl, and you couldn't wear pants, and you couldn't wear makeup. And I've always thought, man, our church could use a little makeup. This would be good. But I grew up in that kind of environment, and it was all from the outside in. And as I've grown in my faith, I realize this is not a work of my flesh. This is a work of the Holy Spirit inside of me. I'm not doing and living the way that I do because I have to. I'm doing and living the way that I am because inside of me is the greater one. And greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And now it's out of love that I'm motivated to live holy before God. It begins with a brand new mind. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? They die. Everything dies and you come alive in Jesus. The mind is the source of both your thoughts and your actions. Paul says the mind must be renewed. That word renewed is just like the word in the Bible that says resurrection. That word renewed, it's very similar to the word of resurrection. It's a complete change for the better. Not trying to add God in. Listen, where we're going in this church and where we're going in the kingdom of God is we're going into this waves of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God being poured out. And it is absolutely a change for the better. This act is only through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, and it represents a complete change from one form to another. Moses is writing in Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 14. He's writing to Israel. He's prophetically writing to them about the promised land. And he says, it shall come to pass if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord, to love your God with all of your heart and serve him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And look at verse 14. Then I will give you the rain for the land in its season. The early and the latter rain, that you may gather in the grain and the new wine and your oil. He says there's going to be an outpouring. He was telling them, when you get into the promised land, there's going to be the latter and the former rain that's going to come in. I think all of us need to get ready for an outpouring of God's manifest power in this house. I think you need to get ready for an outpouring of the manifest power of God in your lives every day, where things just happen and God just turns things around. So be our best year ever. If you've been waiting on him for breakthrough, I just want you to declare over your life, this will be the year that I reap an overflowing harvest from the seeds of faith that I have sown, an overflowing harvest of God's word in my life. I go online and I try to watch. I love listening to other preachers of what God's doing all around the country. And I go on, I listen to Elevation, I listen, and there's a lot of great preachers out there. But let me tell you something, there's a lot of dead preachers out there too. It's amazing to me how thousands of people pack a church to hear a dead sermon. I'm listening to that thing, I'm like, how in the world? Like, I'm preaching my guts out with fire and passion, and I'm looking out there, they got 10,000 people in this arena, and it's the most boring, dead, watered down, no faith, no life, no hope. Huh? You watch these people, and they sit there with their arms folded, and the whole service. There's no life in them. There's no expectancy. Like, I want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I want waves of his glory just to sweep over this house, over your life. I want your house to be a house where the glory of God resides. When you wake up in the morning, you have to get out of bed and dance before the Lord. I want you to be like David and just run through your house. Woo! I pray every man in this house, your wife has to go, what's going on? I would love to hear testimonies of some wives calling me saying, I don't know what's going on. My husband's running around our house right now. He's out there running around the house screaming. I'm just frustrated that people have become so dead. People just occupy a seat in church. Don't activate anything. Don't pursue anything. Do not try to. Man, you got to appropriate this stuff. You got to go after this stuff in your life. Huh? I'm not just up here telling stories and trying to make you feel good. I'm trying to get you to grab it, appropriate. Pull it into your life. Say, that's for me. That's for me and my house. We are going to live with the fire of God in our home. We need a fresh outpouring. You have to understand something. You have to be a carrier of the glory. Like you're a carrier. You get infected with him. You become the carrier of this thing. And wherever you go, you start fires. You're bringing change into a room. You're setting the atmosphere of a room, and you're declaring, in this room, everything's changing in here. Joel chapter 2 and verse 23. Joel 2 and 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Be glad. Be happy. Stop worrying about everything. Oh, they're going to start retaliating. They killed a terrorist. They're going to start retaliating. I'm going to tell you what. If you get consumed with all that junk, you're going to live depressed, in fear, living in a bomb shelter somewhere, eating dried peanuts. It is not who we are. We are the children of the Most High God. We're not worried about what they're doing. We got an open portal to heaven, and we're bringing heaven to earth. Amen. Be glad then, children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause it to come down for you. The rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. We're in the first month. It's our first month. We need the rain, the former and the latter rain together in this dry and thirsty land. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why does God use the term former and latter rain? Like, why is this in the Bible? What's it all about? In Israel, the early rains started in the autumn, which was October and November. The early rains would come. And then the latter rains came in the spring, in March and April. The rain is what makes things grow. Right? If you plant a seed, it needs a little rain to take hold, and then it'll crack open, and it'll produce a stalk. And it's like, man, you got to have the rain for things to grow. Its purpose was to bring the seed through the soil into a stalk, and that stalk could become a blade of corn. Then right before harvesting, they needed a whole bunch of rain, a whole bunch of good old rain, to make sure that the crop was going to be an abundant crop. God said, listen, I've brought you into the kingdom of God. I've given you the rain. I've given you the former rain. Now I'm going to give you the latter rain. I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, and I'm going to cause an abundant harvest to come into the kingdom of God. Your family's about to get saved. Your loved ones are about to get saved. You're about to experience the harvest of God. 79 million souls saved with one man's testimony. I'm here to tell you what God's going to do in your life and in your family is an outpouring of the latter and the former rain, and the glory of God is going to fill our lives. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout. God is already at work pouring out the rain on his children. I believe it's like salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe I got the early rain. I gave my life to Jesus, and I believe now there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's going to produce a harvest that is overwhelming. I can't help but believe God's getting ready to pour out his spirit. In James, he talks about that latter rain. He talks about it in James 5, 7, and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the field, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. This is the time that we're living in. You also be patient and be established in your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. I'm ready for an outpouring, a great change of manifest power to be released all over this region, not just for our church. I'm talking about for the whole state of Florida. I'm talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about Canada, Africa, wherever you may be from. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for our time. Sometimes I think Christians are so content just to sit here every week. It's like all we can do to get you to lift your hands. Oh, if you could just lift your hands. That's it. Jared, Holy Spirit's going to get all over you on one of these Sundays, and you're going to lose your dignity, brother. And you're going to be running all over this house hollering, hooping and hollering. I saw it this morning. Ted is 85 years old. Ted Bernard sits right over there. Every he comes first service. I said this week, Ted, I saw you hooping and hollering and running across the front of the stage, shouting and lifting up your hands to God. 85 years old, God showed it to me in the spirit. He said, your old man are going to dream dreams, see visions. I believe for our teenagers, I believe Pastor Tim's about to come into something in our youth group on Carbon Nights. I think the glory of God's going to hit the house. Teenagers are going to be on their face, prostrate before God, crying out to Jesus. Entire schools are going to experience a revival. Don't tell me it can't happen. I'm telling you, it can happen. We lived in Lorain, Ohio, and I got a call from the principal of Lorain High School. And he called me. He said, can you come to the school? I said, absolutely, what's going on? He said, your kids are out there in the yard, and they're talking in some funny language, and people are falling out all over our school courtyard. It was National Day of Prayer, and our kids went out there and started laying hands on people, and they didn't even know Jesus, and they were falling out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me it can't happen again. I'm telling you, a revival fire is burning in our hearts. There's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. Fire! Fire! Shut up in your bones! Hallelujah! Today we're just trying to get people to lift their hands, just clap a little bit. I'm begging people to smile. Listen, if you haven't figured it out yet, we're Pentecostal in here. Huh? You can Google it before you come. You could have Googled it before you came. You'd know what you're getting into. The Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost sat upon each one of them. Tongues of fire. Fire that swept through the congregation. Fire that swept through the homes of the people that changed and transformed their lives. It started a movement that has never stopped. It has never stopped. It has increased more and more. And I'm telling you, God wants to increase you more and more. You and your household, you and your family, that the fire of God would consume you and bring you out of your comfort zones. Amen. I intend on seeing an outpouring right here. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God promised that the rain was coming. The rain is coming. If you don't want to get wet, you need to find another church. It's coming. Listen, there's only two things that can happen. You cover your head and you run for dryness, or you dance in the rain, or you get soaked in the rain, that you get saturated in his presence. Miss Lily, God's calling you. You are so anointed. You are so passionate for God. I'm believing God to put a dance back in your step. You are not, listen to me. You guys, we are not falling apart. We are not getting weaker and weaker. David Ling, we are on fire for God, buddy. We're going after the devil. We're taking him and we're driving him out. We're not settling for anything. We're not settling for anybody living in a world of sin. We're calling you out. Amen. Amen. Zechariah 10:1. Ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask for the rain. Open your heart to the Lord and ask him for the rain. God, let the rain saturate me. Let the rain soak me. I believe that some of you are going to wake up in the morning, put your feet on the ground, and fall prostrate before God and be weeping in his presence because the glory of God has filled your home. This is what I'm believing for. Miss Gail, if you could come. This is what I'm believing for. I hope this year you can believe with me for supernatural healings. Supernatural healings. spirit, soul, and body. Supernatural healings. I hope that you can believe with me for an increase of the anointing that will bring us into a place of the river. An increase of the anointing that would move us into the flow of the river. I want you to believe with me for family blessings and the promise for the days and the promise of an open heaven over our families. I want you to believe with me that there will be angel visitations in this place. Come on, that you would have visitations from angelic forces in the heavens. And lastly, I'm believing for restoration of all your lost years. Anybody got lost years? Anybody got times that you say, man, I just missed it? I believe God's going to restore. He's going to restore. Let hope arise in your heart as we look forward to receiving God's bountiful blessings for this world in 2020. Come on, stand up on your feet with me, please. Ask God for the rain. Ask him for the rain. The gathering that we're doing at the new property, that's all about the rain. That's all about the harvest. It's all about the harvest. Souls. Souls. Jesus. 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 Everybody put your hands down for a second. For 2 or 3 weeks now, I think it was the week before Christmas week, and even in the first service this morning, I felt like a real resistance at the altar calls. I can't explain it. I don't know if people are just getting comfortable knowing that at the end we give an altar call, but I felt like this real resistance for people to get out of their lives and die, come to Christ. Like a real resistance. And I'm going to break that today. I'm going to break that today. We are all about souls being saved in the kingdom of God. We are all about dying to ourselves, coming alive in Jesus. We're not here to fit God into your life. I'm here to tell you, you've got to surrender your life to God. He doesn't want your heart. He doesn't want you to just come to church. He doesn't want your wallet. He wants your life. He wants you to surrender your life. Become new in Christ. A whole new way of thinking. An unoffendable heart. So I speak to every person in this room right now. We're praying right now. Father, I bind that resistance to the altar calls. I bind that resistance to the response. And I thank you, Lord, this is not the end of the service. This is the beginning of life. We're not trying to close it out so we can get out on with something else and go eat. This is the most important thing, that people come to know Jesus, that people watching online today get Jesus into their lives and they die to their flesh and come alive in Jesus. So, Father, I speak right now to everybody watching and everybody in this room. And only you can answer it. I had a mom get so mad at me one time because her teenage son lifted his hand and came forward and gave his life to Christ. And she literally ripped me in church the next Sunday. She said, my son was already saved. I don't know why you got him to come up that altar. I said, baby, he knew he needed to come and he just came. I didn't tell him to come. It's funny how people are. It's so protective. Well, they already got it. Well, so you know if you got it or not. If you have not been born again, if you're backslidden and away from God, you know it. You don't need some preacher up here screaming at you that it's time. Just telling you. He's here. He's been here all service. The Holy Spirit has been in this place all service, and he's dealing with you right now. If you cannot say, I know I am living my life totally committed to Jesus. If you know you can't say that, you are living your life totally committed to Jesus. I want you to lift your hands to Jesus right now. Just lift them up. Hold them up. All over the room. If you know that's you, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you in the back. Thank you. I'm not totally, I love God, yes, but I am not totally committed. Lift your hand. Hold it up. Come on, hold them up. Shoot them up. Shoot it up. Amen. Amen. You want to be free? You want to be totally free? Huh? If you start thinking, well, what are they going to think? They're thinking I'm a sinner if I go up there. Stop. The Holy Spirit dealt with you to lift your hand. Stop worrying about what anybody thinks. Right now, I just call you and say, come stand at the altar. If you needed to lift your hand, just come stand at the altar. Say, that's me. I need to go totally committed, all in for God. Come on. I want the fire. Come right now. Come on, join me. There's 100. It's probably 20 or 30 of you lifted your hands. Why don't you just come, be bold, and say, oh, you know what? The word is speaking to me tonight, and I'm coming. I'm coming to stand. Come on, join me. Come on, turn to somebody and say, did you lift your hand? I'll go with you. Come on. You lift your hand, I'll go with you. Bring them. Bring them. Come on, keep clapping. Come on, be bold. Come on, that's Jesus. Amen, bro. Amen. Come on, there's a bunch more. Come on. I just totally commit myself. I totally commit myself. I'm all in. I want the fire. Come say it. I want the fire. I want to be purged. I want God to do everything in my life that He promised. Amen. Amen. There's three more. Three more. Just come on. You lifted your hands. Why don't you come right now? Just join me. Maybe you didn't. You say, I should have. Come on. Just wait just for one more second. Come on. Clap amen one more time. Three more of you guys. Come on. Step out. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Amen. 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 Everybody just slip your hands to the Lord right now. Come on. Say, Jesus, I know you died for me. I give you my life. I give you my life. Come on, say it with meaning. I give you my life. I choose Christ. I love you. I'll never be the same.